Habib Musa, let's do this.
Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
Now, saving versus investing, which one is better? Saving and investment are often lumped together as they're the sole alternative to spending money, but each strategy has its own advantages and disadvantages, and that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today with Mr. Habib Musa, already on the line. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir, and all the viewers and all the listeners, pardon me.
How are you doing today?
Awesome, awesome. Just a bit of a small cold that I have.
Yeah, I could hear that bit of under the weather there.
Eish, I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, the weather is under by itself, so I can imagine that it's got, it's got everyone under the weather. But besides that, how was the day?
The day was extremely exhausting, but we tried to make a profit there and there, but the grace of God, it all happened.
Yeah, fantastic. Sure. We will put you in our prayers. You'll become better in just a few from now. Yeah, I think we are at the nick of it, right? We are literally in the nick of it, and it's just going to get more colder and colder before
it
becomes better. So, hey, those shots against flu are probably needed at this time.
Yeah, you can say that again. They need it, man.
Yeah, certainly. But thank you so much once again for taking the time to join us this evening. We're talking about this thing called savings and investing. I think, like we said, probably we lump it up together. Would that be the first mistake that we make there?
Yeah, it's true. That's the very best mistake that people usually use. Don't forget there are fundamentals when you talk about savings. There are also some fundamentals when you talk about investing money. Mm. So the question that people should ask is, let's define the term itself. What is saving? What is investment?
Yeah.
You see,
yeah.
That's where you're going to get the different aspects and concepts of what saving and investment is.
That's true. Then letting us then, what's the difference between the two? Perhaps, like you said, it's in the definition. Maybe let's help us, for those of our listeners who might not be familiar with the terms. So I've heard these terms thrown around, but it's always a very intimidating term, especially when you start saying investing. People are like, yo, where do I start? What on earth is that? So what is savings and what is investment?
Okay, my definition is going to be very, very simple from a layman's term, so that every individual can understand and hear.
Yeah.
So if we talk about saving is basically putting money aside for a specific function or a specific use.
Okay.
That is saving.
Yeah.
Investing is putting money aside to make more money. That's the difference.
Okay, I love that. Mm-hmm. So when you put money aside for just putting it aside, you are basically
saving.
Oh, okay. And then when you're investing, you're like, I want this to make more money for me.
Exactly. So your money is making more money. Children money, etc.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Is there intentionality behind that?
Yeah, there is big intentionality behind it. Let me just narrow stream this to a specific individual. When an individual says he is saving, what does it basically mean? Because there are some various reasons why a person saves. Number one, a person says to build financial wealth, to get out of debt, to purchase an exotic item, or for retirement.
Yeah.
That is saving. You see, when you look at investment, why does a person invest? A person invests so that it cannot be employed or work.
Yeah.
Invest for generational wealth. That's the most important one. Number three, to have a lot of money. Those are the three definitions I give for investing and saving. Mm. You can see the fundamentals are quite different and they broaden its own entirety. Mm.
Okay. Is there one that's better than the other?
This question is very tricky, right? Because it all depends on one's pocket.
Mm.
But there is a book that I would encourage every individual.
Okay.
Every individual. It is called The Richest Man in Babylon.
Love that book.
That's a very powerful book, man. I'm telling you. Whoever reads this book, there's no way you can fail, man.
Yeah.
Trust me. Because the principles that are adopted there, they're from scripture.
Yeah.
That's what I love about it.
Yeah.
So the book, The Richest Man in Babylon, this person, the author, actually joined the two.
Mm.
Instead of separating saving and investment, he actually joins the two. Mm. He makes saving and investment work together.
Mm.
So this is how we put it. Number one, look for employment.
Mm. Mm.
Or look for a job.
Mm.
Look for employment or start a business. Mm. Any of the two. But you must have a source of income.
Yep.
Number two, after you find that, then take the money and save it.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
After you have accumulated the goal that you want to accumulate, take that money and invest it.
Yeah.
So that's how the book uses the investing and the saving terms.
Mm.
For me, is one better than the other? Not necessarily, but one cannot accommodate the other. That's necessary.
Mm. Mm. Okay. So it depends on the situation. I suppose then
exactly.
It would be a case of, in your own assessment and experience as well, when is it better to save rather than to invest, and vice versa? When is it better to invest rather than to save?
The best way to start saving is as soon as possible.
Yeah.
That's the key. Likewise with investment, as soon as possible.
Yeah.
When to start saving?
Yeah.
Let's try to categorize, because this question is broad according to age and experience.
Yeah.
You see, so if it is somebody who is in his early 20s, say he's working, when is it the best time to start saving?
Mm.
It is the first time, the first salary you get.
Ooh.
That's when you start saving.
Ooh.
That's when you start saving, because the whole process is to start. If you don't start, it don't happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see.
Yeah.
So the very first salary that you get, save. If you're somebody that has been working and have no budget or has not actually analyzed or adopted the future plans of their finances, you can start after this talk show.
Beautiful.
It is never too late. Eh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Never too late. So, likewise with investing.
Yes.
You see, likewise with investing. But investment usually needs money.
Yeah.
So there are two formats in how you can get that money.
Yeah.
Number one, it is a lazy route, I usually say. This route is lazy. It is because everybody does it, which is using your salary to invest.
Mm.
Yeah, it's quite safe and it's not that risky because at the end of the month, your salary is sure.
Mm.
You see, the other option that I usually opt for people to use, it is because it uses the brain, makes the brain to work. It's OPM, which usually means other people's money.
Yeah.
So that one is quite faster and quite risky. But
yeah.
you are definitely going to reap what you sow when you use that process.
Don't you have the biggest challenge of convincing OPMs to give you that money? Isn't it? I suppose that's the biggest hurdle you'd have to convince them, right? Because no one is going to part with their hard-earned money simply because you have this idea that will obviously make you money at the end of the day.
True. What I usually say to a lot of people is, when you use the method of OPM, understand that the method of OPM must be a win-win situation. Where hands must wash each other.
Yeah.
You see? So look, target a person who has the exact same interest that you have in your business.
Mm.
When you approach that person, make sure you approach with a solution that he looks for.
Mm.
Everybody in a business has a problem.
Mm.
You must be the solution to the problem.
Mm.
That's how you can use OPM to actually get fundraising of money.
Mm.
You see, so go in a mindset or in the agenda of, I'm going to solve your problem.
Yeah.
But me solving your problem is, you ask, give me money, then your problem will be solved.
Sure. That takes time, though.
Yeah, it does. Experience, skill, I tell you.
Yeah. Sure, it does take a lot of time. Now, here is a person, like you said, I mean, I suppose a young person that's starting, is that a better place to actually start saving and start investing, right? And for those of, you know, us who have been around the corner and you're thinking, okay, I've gone the route and I've failed at my first salary. Like you said, maybe the best way is after the show, you start doing that.
Exactly.
Can you do it when you are in debt? Can you save and invest when you are already in debt?
That's a good question. Can you save or invest when you're in debt?
Mm.
Yes, you can. But just know, let's tackle savings under debt.
Yeah.
Yes, you can save under debt. But now just know that you're going to save a very minimum amount.
Mm.
You see,
because
you want to quickly cover your debt. And the fastest route of covering your debt is this: pay double. so that you shorten the duration of your debt. You see, pay double. I know it's quite hard, especially in this current economic crisis that you're facing. But now that's where our brain comes to function now.
Yeah.
You have to analyze and sit down and see where you can actually try to save up so that you can quickly pay up your debt.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
And then when you look under saving, is it possible for, pardon me, is it possible for one individual to actually invest under debt? It is possible. Where you use debt as what you call this, an investment scheme. For example, property. It is hard to purchase a 3 million property or 1 million property cash.
Yeah.
So obviously every individual is going to run to a source which is called a bank.
Yeah.
So you use that, you go to the bank taking a loan, which is debt, and you actually go and buy property. But now you don't buy property for you to go sleep in. It's property for tenants. So you buy that money, you buy the property, and the tenants are going to actually pay off your debt through a mortgage, a house bondage, etc.
Yeah.
So it is all about one individual strategically sitting down and positioning himself on how he can actually maneuver through debt.
Yeah, it's a tough journey, though, it would seem, eh?
It is, it is. And can I say something quite fundamental?
Yeah.
If you look at the book, Counsels of Stewardship by Ellen G. White, she strongly recommends every individual, especially if you're a Christian, that you should not be in debt.
Ish.
You should not be in debt. Why? She highlights this thing very important. Because a borrower becomes a slave, and a lender becomes a master.
But so let's be honest here, Mr. Musa. Let's be honest. For instance, I'll make an example. I was looking at, by my own sins, obviously, but I was looking at, saw this beautiful property on social media, and I followed to their website and all that. And my goodness, it's a beautiful house. Like I looked at it, like this house is beautiful. But I think it was averaging around 2 to 3 million. And I saw someone in the comment section saying, what is the qualifying amount, like salary, whatever, whatever? And they said a joint amount of 80,000. Like, yay! So I was like, yeah, I know, yeah, I know. Some things are for some people, you know, in this world. But
the
thing is, it's easy for us to get into this because we all want to live in a beautiful house, right? We all want to drive nice car. We all believe in a God who's able to give us all of these things. Are we saying I should leave that nice 3-5 million rand house?
No, you shouldn't. You should find ways and means in actually accumulating that amount so that you can actually go pay it off. This is what I usually say. I'm a full-time preacher. Pardon me, sorry for coughing.
No problem.
This is what I usually say to members of church. That most of the time, a lot of members are going to go to church for all night. At the same period, people are going to their workshops, what you call this, the whole night working. While you're busy praying the whole night, others are working the whole night.
Yes.
There's a significant difference there.
Yeah.
We have to put our faith into action. You see, if you want that property, my brother, it's possible. You just have to plan. It's very possible. You just need to plan. You see, and obviously planning takes a lot of financial skills. You see, a lot of financial skills. You can do it in two ways, either saving or through investment. You see, but saving will take a long time. I'm telling you, it will take a long time, man. Yo, 80,000, where are you going to start?
Where do I start? I was like, you. Like, where do I start? Like, you know, but I was like, it's a beautiful house. So yeah, savings is going to take me forever, eh?
It will, man. So the offered route that you can go for is investing. So obviously there's a lot of education that needs to take place under that department.
It's a topic on its own.
I tell you, brother. I tell you.
It's certainly a topic on its own. Now, you've mentioned the differences between the two, and I think fundamentally it's investing at the end of the day is about making your money grow, right? Whereas saving is putting money to specific things that you want to do with that money. Sometimes maybe putting it there. Of course, there's a risk of inflation and all the other stuff that are technical when you're saving that money. Is there something common between savings and investment? What would be the common thread between the two?
What could be quite common between the two? There are actually two aspects I want to highlight. Number one, they both use money.
Number
two, they both use discipline.
Ah.
Those are the two that I'm going to use.
Try writing that
they
down.
Both use money and they both use discipline.
Mm.
You see, you need money to make money.
Yeah.
Even if it's savings, you need to save through money.
Yeah.
Number two, in order for you to actually get what you're looking for, there's this term that people usually use. Set your goals.
Yeah.
That's not discipline.
Yeah.
You see. So both of them, the discipline. When I talk about discipline, especially under savings, let's just tackle savings under discipline.
Yeah.
And also going to do the same thing for investment.
Yeah.
So, pardon me. So there are different strategies that an individual can actually adapt.
Mm.
I personally usually use four.
Yeah.
You see, so I'm just going to highlight the four from the top of my head.
No problem.
When somebody decides to actually save, saving actually makes you disciplined. I won't lie to you. That financially disciplined, you become disciplined.
Mm.
You're going to look at the amount that you earn, number one. Number two, you're going to set a goal.
Mm.
And you're going to ask yourself, in terms of duration, how long will this take?
Mm.
Is this a short-term goal or is this a long-term goal?
Mm.
Number three, while looking at that, you're also going to look at the adjustment that you need in order for you to reach that goal. You see, number two, you must also understand your cash flow, understand your money.
Mm.
You see, there's this thing that I learned from other entrepreneurs, also big bosses.
Mm.
They always say one thing to me, and this is this, that money likes to hold.
Okay.
And I didn't understand when the person said hold. What does that mean, like money likes to hold?
Yeah.
It means money likes to own something.
Mm.
If your money does not own something, then your money won't grow.
Mm.
Then it's in vain, you see. So that's where investment comes in.
Mm.
Money wants to be invested. It wants to hold.
Mm.
If either it wants to hold property, or it wants to hold clothing, or it wants to hold an item, or it wants to hold a car, that's the nature of money. It just wants to hold, you see. So we should understand on that concept. Also, when you're looking at savings, understand your cash flow, understand your income, your expenditure, obviously in the economic language, you're going to say assets or liabilities, understand your study patterns of how do you actually spend your money. This one is a big kicker, man. This is a big kicker. Learning to live below your means.
Ish. Yeah.
This one, especially for us blacks, it's a problem.
Yeah.
This one, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. Learning to live below your means. All these helps a person become disciplined with their finance.
Mm.
That's under saving, though. You see, when it comes to investment, obviously people invest for various reasons.
Yeah.
Obviously, number one, when you invest, there's a lot of study that's being done.
Mm.
You want to make sure what you're investing in actually yields some profit.
Mm.
You see, so you're going to have to learn to take risks. Without any risks, there are no profits.
Yeah.
You see, number two, I'll align this one again.
Yeah.
Your duration. How long will this take? You see, number three, this one is a kicker. It's under risk.
Mm.
Have you calculated your risks?
Mm. Mm.
You see, number four, do you have any money to spend regarding your risks?
Mm.
You see, because risk comes with a huge cost.
Yeah.
You see, so that's all under investment. So investing needs a lot of mental gymnastics.
Yeah.
You see, and risk-taking too.
Now,
you see,
why is it intimidating, though?
The reason why it's intimidating is perhaps the narrative that we've been taught through life. Don't forget, man, the system that you're brought up in.
Yeah.
It is go to school, find a job, and then save, and then buy what you want.
Yeah.
You see, so that narrative is quite comfortable because a lot are actually doing it.
Mm.
Why a lot are actually doing it? Because it actually works.
Mm.
You see, when it comes to investing, not a lot of people have been taught the investment strategy.
Mm.
Not a lot of people understand how to invest, where to invest, whom to invest in, what are the pros and cons of investing. So that type of education is lacking in our educational system. Not only that, also lacking in our churches.
Mm.
You see, so I would say the education of investing has been lacking.
Mm.
That's why people deem it as risky or, ooh, this is quite dangerous.
Mm.
It's not. Even being employed is dangerous. Because anytime your employer can say you have been terminated.
Yep.
You see, so everything is risky in life.
Yeah. Yeah. That one almost happened. We've seen that quite a lot during COVID.
I'm telling
where
you, man.
people who thought they had secured jobs, all of a sudden, your jobs are not secure anymore. You're losing your
You
job,
see?
and if you don't have any savings or investments, it becomes
True.
A little bit difficult. I know it might sound a little bit cliche, this question or rhetoric, but should I
All
save
right.
with inflation, knowing that it's going to eat up at my money? What's the point of saving then?
Exactly. Exactly. I was actually about to go to that part. Because the disadvantage of saving is inflation.
Yeah.
Eish, man, that one, I'm speaking from experience.
Yeah.
That is a big disadvantage. If you notice in our economic world, post-COVID and pre-COVID, you're going to notice that inflation has risen.
Yes, definitely.
The amount of bread, the amount of bread or fuel has risen, man. From 2018, 2019, all the way to 2023. It's crazy, man. So imagine the person that saved 100 grand in the year 2019 and wants to use that 100 grand in the year 2023. That person only come out of the store with potatoes and tomatoes, man.
Not even potatoes. They've gone past 100 rand potato. We've got a potato pandemic in this country.
It's a potato pandemic.
Yeah, it's a potato pandemic. Like that thing, 7 kg is already 120 rands. I'm like, when
I'm
did we get
you, man,
here?
This is a reality that every individual is fighting.
Yeah.
Be it Christian, non-Christian, be it denominational, Adventist, Catholic, everybody is facing the same issue.
Yeah.
You see? So savings does have a side effect.
Yeah.
That's why I usually opt for investment.
Investments are much better. Now, what are the common mistakes then that most people do when it comes to savings and investments? I mean, I'm thinking off the top of my head is exactly that, the mistake of not factoring inflation and all that. What are other mistakes that we make around savings and investments?
I'm going to mention this big one.
Yeah.
This one is a big one, right? And the question that you ask, I'm glad that you asked, because the person that usually answers has to go through experience and has to come up with a solution from that experience.
Yeah.
You see. So the biggest kicker of when it comes to savings, this is man. As you focus on your savings, this is like monthly savings, don't forget about your emergency funds.
Yeah.
That's your big kicker now.
Yeah.
Because you should ensure your budget. You should. Obviously, it's going to cover your life expenses, et cetera, et cetera. But now, like I said, also being employed is risky. Emergency comes in now. Number one, you're ill. You're no longer working properly. Instead of you working the whole week, you're now short. It's now part-time for you. It has affected your budget. Number two, God forbid, death has now knocked at your door. You see, so now the money that you used for saving has to now cover up for a funeral. You see, so now it has now eaten up from your emergency fund. So emergency fund, not a lot of people actually notice, but that's a big kicker on the savings. You see, when it comes to investment, though, what is the big kicker?
Yeah.
And it is this. A lot of people don't notice, man, and this is the big kicker when it comes to investing.
Yeah.
Not studying what you want to invest in.
Yes.
Quickly running into conclusions without looking at the pros and cons. That's it, man. I'm speaking from experience. I was doing Forex. You see?
Yeah.
Just bought and sell without understanding.
Yeah.
There's also a coin that was actually coming out. I'm not sure if a lot of people heard about it. It's called Karabit coin.
Sure.
It's all about gold.
Sure.
You see?
Mm.
It is a German company that started it. So they... one person, the salesman from this company actually came to South Africa and started, selling the coin to us. Like, yeah, invest in this. So my friends and I gathered, like, yeah, this is good, man. Let us invest this. So as a group of friends, we actually gathered 20K. That 20K, we put it in this thing. And shoop, the company lost.
Sure.
You see, so now 20K was gone down the drain.
Sure.
Under 3 months.
Sure.
You see, under 3 months. So we noticed from that, we studied where we went wrong. Number one, we just jumped to conclusion. Of studying, analyzing, detecting the problem cons, what are the terms and conditions. We did not look that. You see. So you should study what you're going to invest in. After all, it is money.
It is money. You're spending money at the end of the day.
Exactly, man.
Yeah, so you must be
serious Mandelas, yeah.
Yeah, certainly. And although now we've changed them to animals and and Bangikule and Bangikulu somewhere there. We are lost in translation, but somewhere.
You're very sarcastic, man.
We are lost somewhere in translation, but it's a very big Bangikulu. So people must make sure that, you know, whatever amount they have, we do that. Now, as we come to a conclusion here, my last one is, should I invest my extra cash or maybe pay off debt? I have extra money. Maybe I just got an increase or, you know, or maybe, like you said, opportunities. I can see they are upcoming in some investment thingy that's legit that can work. Do I take this extra money or go there, or rather fix my debt first?
This topic is very broad, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Why I'm saying this is because, say, for example, you've studied your investment plan, and you know that you're actually going to reap your reward at the end of this. So why not go for it? Number two, you see, I'm not sure. This is where this is what I call the chicken mode.
Yeah.
Where you do not want to fight, but just want to protect.
Yeah.
This way you're going to now take your money, your savings, and you're going to cover up your debt. From logical experience, the method I would use as an individual, it can differ from you. It can differ from the person sitting next to you or somebody listening. It differs all depending on how well studied in your investment. Number two, also your pocket, how big it is. From experience, I'll actually cover up my debt because it's going to haunt me at the end of the day.
Certainly.
You see, I would really cover up my hole. Get done with it there and there faster. You see, so that it does not haunt my investment.
Yeah. I'm also just thinking now that if you have extra cash and you're using it to invest with the hope that you're going to get some sort of return that maybe can then use to close off your debt, I think the risk there is that you might go a little bit too aggressive on the investment and it just doesn't come out the way you thought it would. And now you've lost these Bangikulus and the Mandelas and you're still left with debt. But if you deal with your debt first, you know, you're freeing up some sort of cash. You don't have obligations that are holding you back, especially the little ones. And whatever you strategy you then use to go in there and invest, at least you know that even if I lose money, you know, I don't necessarily have some people to pay or whatever the case may be. But it makes sense why you would also say it like that. And that's what I'm also getting there. Any final thoughts there?
Sure.
Savings, investments, what should our listeners take home?
Number one, don't pray for money.
Hey, okay, don't pray for money.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes, God does not have it.
Okay.
You see?
Yeah.
Don't pray for money.
Yeah.
Number two, you should actually find ways and ideas in creating money.
Okay.
Yes. When it comes to savings, Do work and do save your money.
Yeah.
But I always say this. For an individual to actually survive in this time, you should have different sources of income.
You see.
Yes, number one, do keep your stable job, but find a side hustle to cover up. You see. So that means your brain has to go to work in finding out what problems can you solve to generate some income. You see. That's under savings. When it comes to investing, after you've found a problem, take that money and invest in it.
I'll
always say this, and I'll say this again.
Yeah.
Please invest in property. Exactly.
Sure. Please invest in property. Do not pray to God. It doesn't have money. Those are some of the key takeaways. Really appreciate your time, man. Once again, friend of the show, really appreciate it. And may God continue to bless you in your work as well.
Thank you very much, man. Thank you very much to all the listeners, and may God continue to bless you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. That was Mr. Habib Musa there talking to us this evening about investment and savings. What's the difference between the two? And perhaps what's the strategy? I hope that you've taken for yourself a bit of gold mines there that you can apply in your own life.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.